It's always a treat during Catholic Schools Week to get to hear from some of our younger readers proclaiming the scriptures. Barrett and Garrett, what a nice job they did. And we're so happy to have all of our Queens families with us today. Good job, guys. So Catholic Schools Week is a chance for us to highlight the jewel in our crown. Our school here at Queens, St. Mary's, St. John's, Lumen Christi, all working together for a common cause to turn our children into saints. In the scriptures today, Jeremiah heard something very eloquent from the mouth of God, who was speaking directly to him. Verse 4, the first chapter, he said, "Before I placed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." Reminds us that life begins at conception, that life comes not just from our parents, but also from God, and that He has a plan for us that begins long before we are born and long before we pick what our major will be in college and then change it five times, much to our parents' chagrin. But in the case of Jeremiah, God was letting him know this, that He had a plan for him long before he was born, because Jeremiah had just found out at the beginning of this book what God's plan was, and he was having none of it. Verse 1, God told him, "Jeremiah, I choose you to go and be a prophet to my people Israel." He was going to have to convict them of their sins and call them to repentance, and God told him, "They won't listen to you because they don't listen to me, but you have to go anyway." Jeremiah's response was, "Hey God, pick somebody else. I am unwilling, I am unworthy, I am incapable." Jeremiah said, "I speak like a child, and no one will listen to me." Sounding very much like St. Paul in the second reading when he told the Corinthians that when he was young, he used to talk like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. Well, Jeremiah must have had some stunted growth and arrested development because he doesn't feel that he's got what it takes to speak God's word, to fulfill God's will. And so he would rather, like so many prophets before and after him, hide from God, say no to God, refuse God. But that's when God tells him this: "Before I placed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I dedicated you. It's not you who will be speaking. It's me who will be speaking through you." And he warns Jeremiah that even though kings and princes will be plotting against him because they will be so stiff-necked and hardened of heart against God and against Jeremiah's message, that Jeremiah will not fall. He will not fail. His mission will be successful, because all God is commanding is that Jeremiah preach. Whether the people listen or change or not is going to be up to them, and they will face the consequences of that choice. So even though he told Jeremiah that his will for him was not an easy one, it's a good one. It would lead to Jeremiah becoming numbered among the saints in the kingdom of heaven. And he said, even though the kings and princes are going to attack you, worry not, because I'm going to make you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass. God was going to make Jeremiah so strong that he would be able to withstand any challenge to his preaching. So it wasn't going to be easy for Jeremiah. Before the Babylonian exile, he was hated and persecuted perhaps more than any other prophet before the coming of Jesus. But he wasn't martyred. They did not succeed in killing him. And his mission was actually quite successful, because there were a few, the faith of a few, who chose to believe, who chose to admit of their sins and to repent. And that made it all worthwhile, that one might be saved through a prophet's preaching. When we turn our attention to the second reading today, two-thirds of that reading, I would venture to guess that 85% of you had proclaimed at your wedding. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is always patient, always kind. It is not self-serving. We've heard that all before. And yet, Paul the Apostle was not speaking at an engaged encounter. He was not giving a marriage retreat. What he was doing was telling newly baptized Christians how to keep the faith in the midst of all of life's challenges and adversity. But what makes a good spouse? What makes a good parent? Same ingredients that make a good Christian. Somebody that is willing to love others the way God has loved us in Christ. That's the love that Paul is speaking about. That's the love that he himself had experienced that brought him from being Saul the Pharisee, who hated Gentiles and Christians and was trying to persecute them and killing them, to become a missionary, a Christian to the Gentiles, to bring them all to salvation in Christ. That's where Paul learned about the love of which he speaks, reminding us that with God's love we can do anything. Without God's love we can do nothing. That's the kind of love that hopes all things, believes all things, bears all things. But most importantly, St. Paul said that's the love that never fails, reminding us that God's love for us in Christ cannot be defeated by sin or even erased by death. It's a never-ending, limitless love that knows no bounds. And that's why, as God continues to love us when we need it the most and deserve it the least, He wants us to love one another, especially in the matter of forgiveness and letting go of grudges and resentments. Today in the Gospel, we're hearing part two. Last week, it started with Jesus' first homecoming to Nazareth after the beginning of His public ministry. And boy, how things had changed in the short time that He's been gone. He had left the son of Joseph and Mary. He's come back announcing Himself as the Son of God. When He left, He was nothing more than a carpenter's apprentice. Now He's telling people that He has the power to raise the dead. No wonder they wanted Him to be the preacher in the pulpit, in the synagogue on that Sabbath day, to find out what had changed, what's become of Him, what happens next. Jesus read that scroll from Isaiah, written 800 years before His birth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Jesus said, this is talking about me. The Messiah you've been praying for and waiting for, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing. You're looking at Him. And if Jesus had just stopped there, it would have been great. They all would have been happy. But then He went on to explain not only that He was the Savior, but who He had come to save. And to answer that question, He decides to take them back on a tour through the Jewish scriptures. And He starts talking about Elijah and Elisha, two of the most powerful prophets in all of the Hebrew scriptures, and how their greatest miracles were not done for the benefit of Jewish people at all. Instead, it was Elijah raising the son of the widow of Zarephath. It was Elisha cleansing the leper, Naaman, who was Syrian. In both cases, these beneficiaries of these great miracles of these powerful prophets were not Jewish. They were not part of the covenant. Jesus was using that to show the people listening in the synagogue at Nazareth that day that it was always God's intent that when He sent His Son to be the Messiah, He was sending Him to save everyone, not just the Jewish people. And that was very hard for them to accept. The people of Nazareth, like so many Jewish folk before them, had decided that if God chose only us out of every nation on earth to be the beneficiaries of His covenant, that God must be choosing only us for His kingdom and for salvation. But Jesus has made it very clear that God makes everyone, God loves everyone, God wants to save everyone. And therefore, that is when they're not just a little bit upset. Instead, Luke tells us they are filled with fury. They rip Jesus out of that pulpit, they throw Him out of the synagogue, and they drag Him to a cliff, and they want to throw Him off. This is only the beginning of Jesus' ministry. These are the people that have known Him all His life. They love Him, but now they're filled with fury because of Him, and they'd rather He die than continue to promise salvation to the Gentiles. Their plan does not succeed. Jesus instead practices the same advice He will later give to the apostles. Whatever town you enter and they reject you, they reject the message you preach, shake the dust from your feet, and go on and tell someone else who is willing to listen. Like Jeremiah, Jesus' mission was difficult, but He was faithful and the mission was successful. And He would do it all again if only He might just save one of us.